Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left, as always, is my Lancastrian co-host, Joe Nutsy Nuttall. So, Joe, mate, how's your day been so far?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Obviously, the weather hasn't been the best in England, as the cricket kind of reflected. There was a lot of drawn games. But, yeah, it's picked up a bit, and lockdown's kind of coming out of it a little bit now, so that's good. So hopefully things improve with that. And yeah, I'm not too bad.
Yeah, fingers crossed. It's nice, isn't it? For those outside of the UK, for those who don't know, in England, on April the 12th, which was yesterday, as of this recording, things started to open up a bit more. So shops, barbers, pubs as well, which I think will be big for a majority of people here in this country. But yes, England is starting to finally open up again, which is absolutely fantastic. And yes, fingers crossed, we can return to some normality heading into the rest of this year. But Joe, mate, first of all, it's good to see you back on the podcast as well. I mean, it's been a while. It's been a few episodes, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It has. Just, a bit busy. So a lot of work to do. So yeah, couldn't unfortunately make a few episodes, but here we are, back now.
Exactly. It's good to have you back, mate. That's all I'll say for some Warwickshire-Lancashire banter throughout today's podcast. But yes, in terms of today's show then, for the listeners out there, today is our first review show for the 2021 County Championship. So for those who don't know, the first round came to conclusion on Sunday. So here were the results from the first round of the 2021 County Championship. And we shall start with Group 1, my county's group, Warwickshire. Durham versus Nottinghamshire ended in a draw at Trent Bridge. Derbyshire and Warwickshire Edgbaston also ended in a draw. And then Essex versus Worcestershire. Joe, do you want to have a guess here? What do you think the end result of that one was?
Well, remarkably, I think a lot of people probably would have predicted an Essex win there, considering how Worcester did, or typically how Worcester do in Red Bull cricket, compared to, of course, Essex. Of course, Worcester is still a decent Red Bull side, but Essex are levels above. But that was a draw, incredibly.
But yeah, fantastic start to Group 1. Some incredibly compelling games, it has to be said. Heading into Group 2 then, there are a lot more results in Group 2 this week. The first game, Middlesex versus Somerset at Lords. Somerset beat Middlesex by 4 wickets in what was an extraordinary encounter at the home of cricket. Of course, we'll touch upon that more as today's podcast progresses. In the Hampshire versus Leicestershire game at Grace Road, Hampshire thrashed the Running Foxes by a hefty margin of an innings and 105 runs. And then in the final game, arguably the shock result of the entire round of this week's County Championship, Gloucestershire beat Surrey by 8 wickets down at Bristol. An absolutely staggering result for Gloss. And of course, we'll touch upon that in due course. Heading into Group 3 then. So Sussex versus Lancashire at Old Trafford ended in a draw. Glamorgan and Yorkshire up at Headingley also ended in a draw. And then Joe again, Kent versus Northants. What do you think the final result of that one was?
No prizes for guessing that, is it? Let's be honest. A draw again. Yeah, I mean, not the most exciting. I mean, it was exciting cricket, but in terms of results, not the most exciting results. What was there, 3 results?
Yeah, this week.
Across the 9 games. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was, as I said, good cricket being played. Some good, especially with the bat. There were some really, really good batting performances. Not really a good time to be a bowler, ironically, in April. But, not necessarily any big results.
True. Yeah, but we, as I said, that Gloucestershire result was absolutely staggering, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like the results that were, as we mentioned, Somerset Middlesex, pretty crazy game. In fact, they're all in Group 2, ironically, as well. So Somerset Middlesex was a pretty crazy game, but you probably would have expected Somerset to win that game. Hampshire Leicester, I mean, that was a landslide victory for Hampshire, which, as I say, we'll talk about in a minute. There was some crazy batting performances in that. And then you said this was your shock of the round, Surrey Gloucester. And I guess in terms of a win, it probably would be, because none of the other games ended in a victory, aside from those 3. But to be honest, I'm not that surprised Gloucester should beat Surrey. We have to remember, in 2019, they did get promoted to Division 1. So they're in, according to the old divisions, they're at the same level as Surrey are. So, you know, to me, Gloucester have a good team. And although Surrey have a lot of firepower, the likes of Amla, Folkes, Pope, Burns, Jordan Clark, of course, you know, they have a good side. Not necessarily the shock result to me. I think there was more, some of the draws were surprising that some teams couldn't force a win.
Fair enough. Well, of course, we'll touch upon this as the podcast goes on. But just before we go into our analysis and the major talking points from this week's games, we do, of course, have our first tables of the season. So we'll start with Group 1. At the moment, as of the 13th of April 2021, Durham are top of the standings in Group 1, followed by Notts in second, Essex in third, my county of Warwickshire in fourth, which is a shame, we could have beaten Derbyshire, but we'll touch upon that in due course, Worcestershire in fifth and Derbyshire in sixth. Heading into Group 2, no surprises here, Hampshire, after that absolute steamrolling of the Running Foxes, are top of the pile in Group 2, followed by Gloucestershire, Somerset in third, Middlesex in fourth, Surrey in fifth, and Leicestershire down at sixth. And then last but by no means least, Group 3, Joe, I know there'll be a smile on your face here. Lancashire at top of the standings in Group 3, followed by Northants, Glamorgan.
Stop the count.
Kent, Sussex, and finally Yorkshire. So yeah, a very, very interesting start to the season, say the least. Of course, there are plenty of games to be played in the 2021 County Championship. So let's start with Group 1 then, Joe, and let's talk about this week's games, because all three games ended in a draw. And I suppose the surprise one for you then would have been Essex versus Worcestershire. You touched upon it earlier. What kind of things did you take away from that game from both an Essex and a Worcestershire perspective?
Well, firstly, I think, you know, fair play to Jake Libby. I think he was on the field for every single ball of the game. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he carried his bat. Mm. So he was on the field for every single ball of the game, unless he went off for whatever reason during one of Essex's innings. But yeah, I mean, absolutely class from Jake Libby. You know, 180 or 496 isn't necessarily the most exciting innings. And I think I've probably been quite critical of slow innings at times. In fact, in my opinion, he played the situation perfectly here. Because as I've said, Essex are the best side in the country. There's no disputing that. They currently hold the championship and the Bob Withers trophy. So there's no disputing that they're the best side in the country in red ball cricket. And yeah, Jake Libby played the situation very well against what is a top bowling attack. You know, Jamie Porter, quality player. Former podcast guest Sam Cook, quality player. Simon Harmer, obviously quality player. You know, Dan Lawrence has now bowled in a test match, so he's clearly a good player. And Jake Libby, just absolutely really, you know, gritty innings. And I think that's, you've mentioned this before, and I'm going to compare it to someone who I have, again, been critical of, and that is Dom Sibley. You've mentioned that that's the kind of person England need at the top of their test order. And I'm not saying Jake Libby should get in an England test side. Who knows, one day, but for now, probably not. But yeah, I mean, that's exactly what Worcester needed. As you say, England needed out in India, which didn't end up going very well anyway. Worcester needed that, and Jake Libby has done very well. And also Ed Barnard as well, another former podcast guest, maiden 100. So yeah, well done to him.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant from Ed Barnard. And as you said, a very, very gutsy performance, it has to be said, from the pairs down at Chelmsford. Really, really good. And another interesting thing, Simon Harmer as well, wasn't really effective. I know it's April, of course, and that is a major factor.
He wasn't really effective and still got 3 wickets.
I know, we say that, but in terms of Simon Harmer, usually, we expect fifers, don't we, from him?
Yeah, yeah. 100%, yeah.
I think Worcestershire did a very, very good job to keep him at least relatively quiet. Because down at Chelmsford, he does run through opposition. So very, very good performance, in particular that seventh wicket stand, Joe. You've already touched upon it, between Jake Libby, who scored 180 not out, absolutely fantastic, and Ed Barnard, who scored 128. And then, of course, from an Essex perspective, yes, fair enough, it's probably not the start of the season that they would have wanted, but I still think there's plenty of positives to take away from an Eagles perspective. And in particular, Captain Fantastic himself, Tom Wesley, scored an absolutely masterful 213 from 408 deliveries. That was his second first-class career double century, which, of course, the first one being over 5 years ago, funnily enough, was against Worcestershire as well. So, obviously, he likes playing against the pairs. And then, of course, in addition to Tom Wesley, you mentioned Sam Cook. I thought he was absolutely exceptional, 4 for 100 from 37 overs. So, yes, I don't think Essex would have been heading into round one thinking that a draw would be, you know, the ideal result against Worcestershire. But you have to give credit where credit is due. I think both sides batted tremendously well. Both sides showed a lot of grit, a lot of stubbornness, a lot of determination. And to be fair to Worcestershire, they've now got arguably their hardest game out of the season.
I would 100% agree. Away to Essex is probably the hardest game anybody can have. That and away to Somerset. Obviously, at Taunton, they're the two hardest games that you can have. In retrospect, Lancs are very lucky. Having said that, because obviously we don't have either in our group, so yeah, I would 100% agree there. Worcester have the hardest game, and now you never know. You know, they've got a good result away to Essex, they've got a good amount of bonus points, certainly with the bat. Mm-hmm. So you never know from here, literally anything can happen. Obviously, they'll be well up for you know, the Warwickshire game because it's a derby. And I would expect them to be up for every game that they play as well because they're professional cricketers. So, yeah, I mean, literally, at the start of the, well, more in the winter, we kind of mentioned that there could be a few surprises. We didn't really mention Worcester. Maybe they could be the team that will kind of surprise us because, as you say, great start.
Hmm. They're an interesting one, aren't they? They're a team which I would describe as resurgent. And I know that 2019 didn't have the greatest of county championship seasons. But you think back to last year, until the final game of the Bob Willis Trophy in the Central Group, they were up there challenging with Somerset. They've got some fantastic players. Jake Libby up the top of the order, Daryl Mitchell, Brett D'Oliveira, Joe Leach. I mean, they have got some fantastic players. Ed Barnard as well, who's a standout in this particular game. And then you think they're going to be supplemented by the likes of Altari Joseph as well. Do not discount Worcestershire. That's all I'll say. And that pains me to say as a Warwickshire fan. But talking of my county of Warwickshire, let's go to Fortress Edgbaston for the next results. Because we played out a very, very compelling draw, it has to be said, against Derbyshire. Now, Joe, before I say my piece, my very biased and Warwickshire-based opinion, what did you make of this particular game at Edgbaston? I looked at it as a roller coaster because I think back to day one, and Liam Norwell, Ollie Hannon-Dorby, Craig Miles as well, just tore through Derbyshire. Derbyshire ended up 189 all out in just 78.2 overs. And then in response, Warwickshire scored 221 all out. Then heading into day three and day four, very, very weather affected, bad light affected as well. I'll touch upon that in due course. But yeah, Derbyshire, under the guidance of Matt Critchley, really did put up quite a good riposte, to say the least. So what did you make of this particular fixture down at the Fortress?
Yeah, I think if the weather hadn't been a factor in this game, Warwickshire would have won pretty comfortably. It was a pretty perfect start, wasn't it? Getting one, oh, two, three and four out for Ducks. Couldn't really ask for much more. Norwell, by the way, bowled very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really, really impressive performance from him, as I'm sure you all have something to say about that.
Yep.
because personally, for me, I didn't think he didn't really stick out as someone who wouldn't start the season for Warwickshire, just in my opinion. So yeah, it was a really, really good performance from him. But I do have to shout out Lewis Rees, obviously ex-Lancs, put up a very good fight. Mm-hmm. 63 off 144 in the first innings. And also, well, he opens the batting and opens the bowling, which I think is one of the hardest jobs anybody can do. That and opening the batting and wicket-keeping in four-day cricket, I think it's such a hard job. And he bowled well as well, got a wicket and only went for 38 runs or 20 overs. Unfortunately, didn't get any runs in the second innings. But yeah, I mean, just have to give a quick shout-out to Lewis Rees. And as you say, Critchley as well, mm-hmm. 83 for him. And Hossain as well. So yeah, some very good innings in there. And I think Derby are one of those teams that if they often rely on individuals, as we've seen in this game. You know, you kind of, if you look at the scorecard from the first innings, it's 63 and then three Ducks, 15, 64, and then no one got above 14. So, you know, if you kind of get those players even scoring 20 more runs than what they get, obviously it's common sense, but that's going to help massively. So I think if Derby can not play more as a team, but kind of rely on other players rather than just individuals, then I think there'll be a massively improved side.
In terms of your honest opinion here, though, Joe, in terms of Derbyshire, you look at that top four in particular, and I know Lewis Rees in that second innings was absolutely fantastic. He was really good, as was Matt Critchley. Do you think that they have enough runs in that top order to really compete in Group 1?
Honestly, yeah, I don't think Derbyshire will get to Division 1. Look, I think they're in a really, really strong group. I mean, we've mentioned Essex, we mentioned Worcester, Warwickshire, obviously, are a good side. And, you know, Durham and Notts played out a good draw.
Mm-hmm.
Notts still haven't won, by the way. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, I don't, if I'm honest, don't think Derbyshire have the firepower in their side to make it into Division 1, certainly, and maybe not even into Division 2. You know, I mean, you look at the likes of Rees, I think Wayne Madsen probably bats too low. I don't think he's a number five. I don't know why he bats there. I'm not sure. Well, I mean, Billy Godman, we know how class he is. He just happened to not get any runs. So take out Billy Godman as well. And I think Lewis Deploy probably should be batting lower down as well, because again, I don't think he's necessarily number four. I think him and Madsen should at least swap. Maybe Madsen should go to number three and Dal moves down. But look, they've got, as I say, they've got, it feels like to me, a team of a team who rely on individual performances. They never really get as I say, you never really see three or four people getting 50s and the others getting, you know, 20s or 30s. It's always someone who gets 80, 90, 100 or one or two people getting that, and then the rest of the team getting single figures or like 10. So, yeah, as I say, I think if Derbyshire can kind of improve on that, and maybe that won't happen this year, maybe that'll be kind of 2 or 3 years, but if they can improve on that, then I don't see why they can't improve as a Red Bull team. But in my opinion, this year, I don't think they have enough, a good enough squad to get out of or to get into Division 1, probably even Division 2, if I'm being perfectly honest.
It's an interesting one. I don't think Division 2 is out of reach, because I think if they can actually strike a balance, I do think that they have.
If you look at the other teams, realistically, Essex obviously probably going to get in Division 1. You have to be realistic. Warwickshire will get into Division 1 or 2. You'd have to say Worcester are up there now. And then I guess it's kind of, and Notts haven't won a game for years. Durham are kind of rebuilding, and then Derbyshire. So then I guess it's kind of a fight out for those three sides. So again, games like that can be quite interesting as well, where you kind of trying not to get in the lowest division. I mean, we've never seen this in sporting context before, but games like that can still be interesting, or where effectively you're trying to get promoted. It's kind of maybe a good way of looking at it. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they end up.
Yeah, I think that is enough about Derbyshire. Let's talk about my county of Warwickshire just briefly. And before I talk about the bowling, because that's absolutely outstanding from the Warwickshire Seamers, I just wanted to give a little mention to Matt Lamb. 54 from 113 balls. He was absolutely brilliant. Shared a really vital partnership alongside Tim Bresnan. Started getting the runs flowing. Gave Warwickshire a 32-run lead, which I know isn't the most substantial lead you'll ever see in county cricket. But given the difficulty, given the overhead conditions, given the pitch as well at Edgbaston, very, very seam conducive in this opening round, I think he really, really did play a very, very valuable knock, to say the least. Dom Sibley as well. Now, this was interesting because a lot of England players, Ben Foulkes, in fact, was the only England player to score triple figures in the first round of the county championship this year. But I thought Dom Sibley, for his 29, actually looked pretty good. I think at times he looked very, very good, but he just couldn't kick on. So with that being said, maybe slightly disappointed with Sibley's output in this game, ever so slightly. But it's Dom Sibley. We know what he's capable of.
Not off 10 as well.
I know. Well, that's the thing, though. He did look very
good. Didn't get
out. Exactly. Exactly. But
if I'm being honest, again, I mentioned this a bit earlier about kind of slow batting, and Dom Sibley is kind of the opposite of what I said with Jake Libby, where 29 of 100 balls for me is too slow. You know, he's striking at 29 and he didn't play the situation well. And, you know, I do think, as much as I've criticised him, I do think Dom Sibley is a very, very good cricketer. I think he's a high-class cricketer. But I think at times, well, that to me, that's too slow of an innings. I understand he's not going to go out and get, 50 or 40 balls
something
like that. But, I mean, fair enough, disagree. But to me, there's playing the situation and then there's just blocking. And yeah, to me, that's just blocking.
It wasn't playing the situation, though. This was playing overhead conditions. As I mentioned, it was very, very seam conducive. We'll touch upon the Warwickshire Seamers in a second. But I thought against the Derbyshire New Ball bowlers, I mean, Sam Connors was fantastic. Finn was fantastic. Ben Aitchison was fantastic as well. Lewis Reese as well. I thought he weathered the storm pretty well this week. Obviously, the runs didn't back that up, of course, in this particular game. But it was
I'm not saying he didn't bat well. He might have batted really, really well. To be honest, I didn't watch him bat. But just looking at this and, you know, having kind of gauged almost an outside view of the situation, he could have... I understand that you've got to play to the situation, but to me, there's a different way to go about that than getting 29 of 100. So, yeah. And did his innings carry over? So, was it like over 2 days?
Yeah.
So, again, maybe in the morning, that's another reason for that. Maybe he just felt more comfortable taking it. I mean, you've got to play yourself in again the next morning. So, maybe that's another reason. As I said, I'm kind of just looking at this from a very outsider's perspective. But, yeah. Just something I thought I'd point out. I really interrupted your point there, mid-point, so apologies about that.
Oh, no, it's fine, of course. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, aren't they? That's the whole... Well, I think that's the good thing about sport, isn't it? It's the fact that we can have these different opinions and generate discourse. That's why we have a podcast in the first place, mate. But, of course, Rob Yates as well. Thought he was excellent in the first innings. But we have to touch upon Warwickshire Seamers, because Liam Norwell and Oliver Hannah-Dorby in this particular game were nothing short of exceptional. Absolutely outstanding. Liam Norwell, in his first over of the county championship in 2021, took two wickets. It was a double wicket maiden. And he was just absolutely relentless. Perfect line and length, constantly testing both edges. He was absolutely magnificent. There's no other word that I can describe Liam Norwell in this particular game. Also made it to the Cricketers County Championship 11 of the week. And then Ollie Hannon-Dalby, we all know what he's capable of. I mentioned it in the preview show with Alex, the fact that he has been Warwickshire's leading wicket taker since 2019. He's actually had more wickets than Jeetan Patel. So yeah, yet again, the Owl performing off the back of a brand new contract extension as well, keeping him at the Fortress for the next two seasons at the very least. Very, very impressed with Warwickshire. But you mentioned there about Notts. Okay, and I actually thought about this the other day. The last time that Warwickshire won a game in the county championship was the 19th of September 2019. So it's been well over 570 days since we've actually finished off a game and won in the county championship. In the months and years that followed that, we've had one loss and six draws. So if I was being quite critical of Warwickshire, and of course the weather was very, very against us in this particular contest. I think if we hadn't lost a lot of overs due to bad light, there was snow, there was rain, there's all sorts. We had the entire weather combination in Birmingham this week. But I do feel like with Warwickshire, something that this team needs to learn, and Mark Robinson touched upon it in his post-match interview, was being cutthroat, okay, and taking the initiative. When you've got the advantage, as we did against Northants in the opening game of last year, you have to finish a game off. It's as simple as that. You cannot ease the pressure. And I feel like against Matt Critchley in particular and Harvey Hussain, Derbyshire went from 71 for 5 to 244 all out. So again, with this Warwickshire team, of course, we didn't have Brooks. We didn't have Ollie Stone as well. They should be back. Vihari coming into the squad as well, apparently, for the Notts game. I do feel like Warwickshire will be bolstered in the bowling department. But that is just something I want to see from the Bear and Ragged staff heading into not just this year's county championship, but into tournaments beyond that as well. But talking of Nottinghamshire, let's touch upon the final game in Group 1 for this week, because this was an incredible draw. It has to be said, and it's not often that people would probably describe a draw as incredible, but this was a really, really good game. Very, very fascinating encounter, to say the least, at Trent Bridge. Joe, what did you make of this game between Durham and Notts?
I think, as you said, it was quite an interesting game. I think I don't think Durham's top order, specifically Jones and Borthwick, I think they'll be desperately disappointed, especially Borthwick. Obviously, on his return to Durham, now the captain, got a total of one run in the match. So that's not ideal. But I think David Beddingham was very impressive. Obviously, got well over 200 runs in the game in total. And yeah, I think actually another person who really stuck out to me, and I was disappointed not seeing him get to three figures, was Tom Moores, because, again, another ex-Lancs player. And I just think he's a very, very good cricketer. I don't know how to put it,
enterprising. That's how I
he doesn't really hold back. He doesn't really hold back. And this innings today, or not today, but the other day, showed, 96 of 151, played the situation perfectly. Tom Moores, to me, is the kind of person who would try and hit 96 off 50 balls, not 96 of 150. So to me, that shows a level of maturity now in his game. And it's definitely good to see someone like that score those kind of runs at that pace. As I say, played the situation perfectly. Another person I was pretty disappointed in was Joe Clark. Obviously, he got 38 in the second innings, but a golden duck in the first. 38 isn't so many runs you'd like to see him kick on, but I mean, Joe Clark's a class player. He's got ridiculous numbers, Joe Clark. And for me, I don't really know why he's not been in contention for a test place, because he's got ridiculous numbers. He's a very, very good player. So for me, Joe, I'd love to see Joe Clark play for England in the near future.
Interesting. Even in Red Bull cricket.
I'm just going to quickly check up his numbers now. But as I said, I think he's got a ridiculous amount of hundreds, and his conversion rate is exceptional. So, yeah, he's scored 4,887 first-class runs, an average of pretty much 38. He's got 1,700 and 1,650s, and he's only 24 years, almost 25. So, I mean, those numbers are just remarkable. And to be honest, if you looked at that, as like you don't really know the context of this of Joe Clark as a cricketer, or didn't know the context of the England team, you would say he must be in the team, or how is he not in the team? So me, I'm surprised he's not been given a chance yet.
Interesting. And of course, we'll have to see if he has a good county championship. Anything can happen. It's as simple 100%, as that.
100%.
The beauty of domestic cricket, and of course the county championship as a competition. But in terms of my standouts from this week, you mentioned David Beddingham, the South African. Absolutely outstanding. outstanding. 180 not out in that second innings, as Dunn racked up 332 for four declared from just 76 overs. It was tremendous batting. It really was an absolute exhibition. Played some beautiful drives, some expansive shots over mid-wicket as well. It was brilliant from the South African. It really was. And then someone else I just wanted to mention, of course, Tom Moores. What an innings that was. 96 not out from 151. Tried guiding, knots alongside the tail. But I just wanted to mention Lyndon James as well, because I've heard knots bring up his name. And the fact is, in that second innings, to dig in, 79 not out from 155 balls, really dogged, really determined, resolute, resilient. I can throw every single adjective under the sun to describe that innings. But he really, really impressed me this week. He really did. He showed a lot of tenacity. That's how I'd describe that innings. Very tenacious from Lyndon James. And heading into the remainder of this year's County Championship, of course, Notts are absolutely begging for a win. It's been well over 1,000 days. The last time they won was against Essex in 2018. And if they're...
More teams.
But their top to middle order needs to get runs. They need to get runs because their bowling attack is not bad at all. And I think Brett Hutton's a fantastic addition. He took 2 for 33, I believe, in the second innings as well, if I'm not mistaken, did take a couple of wickets. But yet, Notts versus Warwickshire in this next week's game of championship fixtures, I think is going to be incredibly, incredibly interesting. And that'd be my game to watch out for. To be honest, both teams are desperate for a win. As I said, the last team that we beat as well in the county championship happens to be Nottinghamshire at Trent Bridge. And Dom Sibley scored, over 300 runs in that game. So, should be interesting to see how Dom Sibley approaches that game down in Nottingham. But yeah, should be a good game, that. And of course, I think three compelling draws. It has to be said.
I was just about to say...
Same about the rain, but... And the snow.
100%, yeah. Well, I've got a bit to say about the snow later on. But, I mean, Warwickshire and Nottinghamshire is definitely going to be a draw now. You said that. Both teams need a win. Could go with it. It's definitely going to be a bore draw now.
Well, I'm hoping
one innings each in a match.
No, please. I hope the weather just stays at bare and we can see Vihari and Stone in full flow for the Bear and Ragged staff. But I think that's enough from Group 1. I mean, not a lot of major talking points, but some excellent performances. It has to be said.
Yeah.
And I know we're probably going to say this throughout the show. I mean, how good was it just to see County Championship cricket back? I know we had the Bob Willis Trophy in 2020. That was like the appetizer. It wasn't quite the main course, which is the illustrious Liverpool Victoria County Championship. But yeah, just to have County Championship cricket back, seeing all the buzz on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, it's good to be back, to say the very, very least. But moving on to Group 2, Joe, I say we start with a major talking point of this week. And I suppose we have to go down to Grace Road. So in terms of the result itself, incredibly one-sided. It was a masterclass in Red Bull cricket from Hampshire. Simple as that. 612 for 5 declared in their first innings. James Vince, 231 from 220 balls. Striking at over 100.
That's my kind of
belief.
That's my kind of belief. Quality knock.
Extraordinary.
Very, very good knock.
Absolutely extraordinary. And before we talk about Leicestershire's innings, and in particular one moment which has been doing the rounds on social media, let's just touch upon that masterclass from James Vince. And in particular, I have a question. Because, of course, a lot of Hampshire fans have been in our mentions. They've been messaging us, talking about James Vince's spot in the England side. Now, you said right there, that is your type of innings. And of course, England have got three massive, massive series in 2021 with New Zealand, India, and then, of course, rounding off an incredibly busy year against Australia down under. He has gotten off to an absolutely roaring start to the 2021 County Championship. My question for you, Joe, is if James Vince can score 1,000 runs in this season's County Championship, would you potentially put him at three and move Crawley up the order to open with Dom Sibley? What are your thoughts on that?
Personally, I wouldn't. I think that ship has sailed now. I mean, it's the sort of thing that England would do. How many opportunities has James Vince had? In T20 cricket, he can't now get a look in, which personally I disagree with. I think James Vince is still a good T20, very, very good T20 cricketer. Similar to Alex Hales, regardless of what's happened in the past, Alex Hales should get a look in, realistically. That was years ago. So, I mean, he's played 13 test matches and has never really kicked on, averaging 25. And also in ODI cricket, only averaging 23. So, yeah, look, I think James Vince is one of those people who, he's a class cricketer and he showed his class, but that ship has sailed. I mentioned Joe Clark. If it came a choice, also, I wouldn't bat James Vince at number three. I don't think he's so good against a new ball. I would rather him against the old ball. I mean, he batted five this week, so I think that's probably a better position for him to bat. But yeah, I mean, as I say, I think that ship sailed, and I think there's probably better options out there now. I mentioned Joe Clark. James Vince is 30 now. Joe Clark is 6 years younger. And, you know, he's almost got the same amount of first-class hundreds as him. He's just nine off him. Look, as I say, that ship has sailed, in my opinion. James Vince is still a class player, but, yeah, no.
Well, fair enough, mate. Of course, I think a lot of Hampshire fans out there listening to today's podcast will probably disagree, having seen the reaction.
I mean,
media.
Having said that, if James Vince played for Lancs, 100% I would obviously
yeah, there it is. Team.
But as I say, he's, in my opinion, James Vince has had his chance at test level. And unfortunately for him and for England, he didn't take that chance. And someone else, if you look at Zach Crawley, he has grabbed that chance with both hands. He scored a double 100 against Pakistan. Dom Sibley has taken his chance. He scored, two, three test hundreds and a few 50s. So, yeah, unfortunately, James Vince, having never scored a test 100 or an international 100 at all, unfortunately for me, doesn't make my side for the Ashes.
Fair enough. And of course, Hampshire fans, do let us know at the County Cricket 2 on Twitter. If James Vince had a 1,000-run season, should he be in the England side? Please do let us know.
Also, neutral fans as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting
I think that would be more interesting because Hampshire fans are obviously going to, well, not obviously, but most likely going to say, yeah, we're both neutral in this. So in terms of Hampshire, not Hampshire fans. So, yeah, I think that's also an interesting one. And what about you, Aaron? Do you think that is a route England should go down again?
It's an interesting one because if he was to have an absolutely outstanding, like if he finishes the county championship top run scorer, okay, and I know he can't produce 231 each week from 220 balls, but if he looked
we don't.
That's the beauty of the county championship. But if he did have an excellent season and he really did stand out head and shoulders above a few of England's more maybe fringe players per se, I'd be inclined to have him in at least the squad because I do like James Vince. I don't think there's many people who don't like James Vince, but he's a very frustrating player on the international circuit, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%,
because he plays these cover drives. And you think, my word, this guy's absolutely glorious. I can't wait to see him get 50s and 100s. And then,
yeah, how has he not scored more runs?
Yeah,
definitely. Kind of reminds me a little bit of David Malan at test level. And, forget about him in one day cricket, T20 cricket. But, you know, when David Malan was in the test team, he obviously scored that 100. And that was at the Wacker, wasn't it? He scored that 100. And you kind of thought, oh, this guy's got a bit about him. Maybe he can make it as a consistent test player for England. And unfortunately, he didn't really get going. So in that sense, kind of reminds me of Malan a little bit.
Interesting. And of course, it's a very, very interesting debate, which we'll have, of course, no doubt more of a say on as the season progresses. But in terms of Hampshire, the rest of their innings, Tom Allsop, former guest here on TCCP, absolutely outstanding, scored 119 from 204 balls. And then, funnily enough, another guest here on TCCP, Liam Dawson, 152 not out, including four sixes. And they were big sixes as well. Brought up his 150 with a six. So well done to Liam Dawson as well. And then moving into Leicestershire's innings. Now, before we move on to the major talking point from this particular game, Harry Swindles, brilliant 59. Thought that was a very, very good knock. Harry Dearden as well and Lewis Hill, both getting 62 and 65 respectively in the second innings. But I suppose we have to talk about one particular moment. The thing which has been absolutely dominating talk on social media for the past few days, and that is Hassan Azad's dismissal in the second innings. Now, for those who don't know why there's so much controversy, so much discussion, and so much talk about this particular dismissal, I recommend that you actually watch it on social media or on Wisden Cricket first, actually formulate your own opinion before just taking it from us two. With regards to this dismissal, okay, the scorecard reads, Bold Dawson stumped McManus. And when you look at that on paper, there's nothing really wrong with that, okay? You think, oh, he's been stumped. However, here's the thing with this particular dismissal, and of course, my words probably don't do it quite justice. But basically, Liam Dawson bowls from over the wicket to Hassan Azad. Beautifully flighted ball, whistles past Hassan Azad's outside edge. Lewis McManus takes it in his right glove, his right wicket-keeping glove, appeals for the catch, and then notices that Hassan Azad might be outside of his crease and knocks the bails off with his left wicket-keeping glove, so not the glove with the ball in, and that is the key. McManus appeals to Michael Gough, who's the on-field umpire, appealing for the catch, whereas the rest of his teammates around the bat are appealing towards Billy Taylor at square leg. Now, here's the key thing. This was not given out as a catch. This was given out by Billy Taylor at square leg as a stumping. And if you actually look at the footage itself, even that might be quite questionable, because for me, it'd be very, very touch and go. But of course, I wasn't there on the field looking from square leg. Of course, Billy Taylor would have a much better view than I do on a live stream. But Joe, I just wanted to know your thoughts on this particular dismissal. For those who don't know as well, Leicestershire have made a formal complaint to the ECB and the match referee with regards to this dismissal. They see it as unfair. They see it as going against the spirit of the game. And of course, everyone will have their own opinions and thoughts on this in terms of whether it's immoral, whether it goes against the spirit of the game. Should Hampshire have called him back? Did James Vince react correctly by backing his teammates to the proverbial hill in the post-match interview with BBC Radio Solent? Joe, what did you make of this particular decision to give Azad out via stumping?
I mean, firstly, with regards to should they have called him back, I think that's ultimately James Vince's choice to decide whether to kind of like change their mind about getting Hassan Azad out. So in James Vince's defence in the moment, he may have not had a clear view of what was going on. You mentioned there from the live stream, it's not easy to see if he is even out of his crease. Well, James Vince, I don't know where he was stood in the field at the time. So he may have been stood at, extra cover on mid-wicket and not really noticed that well. So may not have known to call Hassan Azad back, firstly, in James Vince's defence. I mean, it's such a tricky situation, isn't it? Because as much as Leicestershire are arguing that this dismissal was unfair, which, again, there's different arguments for that, and they want to kind of... Well, I understand why they've appealed it to the ECB and why they've questioned it to the ECB, because these are issues that should be raised and should be clarified. But they're kind of like, at the end of the day, the best result they were going to get from the game was a draw. They were not going to probably realistically going to beat Hampshire. They still, at the end of the game, trailed by 105 runs and then needed to get enough runs to bowl Hampshire out. Realistically, the best result they could hope for was a draw. They ended up losing. So in terms of the dismissal, did not change the impact, the result of the game. It just kind of happened. So, I mean, it's very unfortunate.
Does that really make it right, though? And that's the question that is on everyone's lips. Does it make it right? Because Hassan Azad is 18 from 76 at that particular moment, of course, was bowled out on the 77th ball. That was the dismissal. Does it make it right, even though Leicestershire weren't going to go on and win, does it make it right for Lewis McManus to stump him out with the glove that does not have the ball in? And again, I don't want to pile the pressure on Lewis McManus. Okay, he's done nothing wrong in the past, I don't believe. And I don't think that it's entirely his fault. Okay, this is with regards to McManus. Okay, because it could have just been something instinctive. You have to look at it from both sides. You can't just be biased from one side or the other. But the question remains, should Hampshire, knowing that McManus knew afterwards, and he's felt very, very guilty, should they have called him back? Because then we wouldn't even be having that discussion. It's an on-field moment. It's in the heat of the battle. He's made a mistake, owned up to it in the moment, and they've allowed Hassan Azad to carry on. And as you mentioned, yes, it may not have had direct implications on the overall outcome of the game, but maybe it would have allowed Hassan Azad to bat a bit more. What are your thoughts?
I mean, of course it would have allowed Hassan Azad to bat for longer, at least one ball longer. Of course, you can never tell what would have happened. He may have got out the next ball, which obviously doesn't make the dismissal right. But regardless, that obviously could have happened. So, look, again, I think it's such a hard situation. It's such a tricky situation to be in. And as I say, I think Leicester are doing the right thing in kind of... They're doing the right thing in raising the question to the ECB of why, pretty much. Mm. Why was this allowed? Why was this given out? You know, all things like that. So I guess we can only wait and see pretty much what the ECB are going to say to that.
Exactly. Yeah, and just to make it very, very clear to those on social media, don't go hounding Lewis McManus. Okay, the guy's already feeling bad enough about it as it is. He does not need a load of tweets and a load of messages giving him abuse and all this, that, the other. Just don't do it. Simple as that. And of course, the ECB will come to a conclusion. We'll have to wait and see whether they see it as an umpiring error or if there is something deemed as going against the spirit of the game. But of course, we'll have to find out in due course. But yeah, I do think that is a bit of a shame, because it has taken the polish off what was an incredibly complete and clinical performance from the Southern side. But of course, we'll have to wait and find out what happens there with the ECB. But moving on, I say that we go to an excellent game, an absolutely outstanding game at the home of cricket, one which has kick-started the 2021 County Championship in style. And that is Middlesex versus Somerset. Now, I actually watched this alongside Warwickshire versus Derbyshire, and this was a brilliant game of cricket. Simple as that. Now, on day one, day two, and even up to lunch on day three, on social media, Twitter, Instagram, I saw a lot of people writing off Somerset after they were bowled out for 172 runs in their first innings. But then everything started to change. Jack Leach, take a bow. Simple as that. 3 for 18 in April as a spinner is nothing short of exceptional, as Somerset came back and steamrolled Middlesex for 143 runs in 51.4 overs. And then this set up a magnificent chase. And again, it was a bit stop-start. They got off to a decent start. Banton fell, Abel fell, and there were all of these wickets falling in succession for Somerset. And then Lewis Gregory comes to the crease and changes everything with a masterful 62 out alongside George Bartlett. Joe, what did you make of this game? It was absolutely blockbuster cricket with a capital B, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was a really good game. You know, the pendulum swung a lot in this game. I mean, for me, the best thing about this game was where Tom Banton batted, because I have been wanting someone like Tom Banton. I wanted Jason Roy to open in the Ashes. That didn't obviously work out. I still think he should open in County Championship cricket, because I think you can never have enough openers like that.
Really? With Burns and Amla, though?
I'm looking about three.
Fair enough.
I wanted Johnny Bairstow to get a chance opening the batting. That did not happen. And I want Tom Banton to get a chance to open the batting one day for England in Red Bull cricket, obviously, if he scores runs. So, yeah, for me, that was one of the best things about this game, was where Tom Banton batted. But as you say, I also think Jack Leach, once again, showing why he's the best spinner in England, or England's best spinner. 4 wickets in a match at Lord's, which traditionally isn't that spin-friendly, really. Mm. Certainly in April, not very spin-friendly. I mean, Middlesex didn't even play a spinner. So, yeah, I mean, that's remarkably impressive. We'll obviously talk about Yorkshire in a bit, but Don Best didn't do quite as well, unfortunately, for Yorkshire. I don't think he took a wicket in a match. So, or Joe Root didn't either. So, you know, obviously, to me, that puts Jack Leach clear of Don Best as England's best spinner. So, yeah. I think that's probably the best talking point. And also, Sam Robson batted very well. 165 he got. And I think, what was his milestone again? He passed an amount of runs, didn't he? I can't remember what it was off the top of my head. But yeah, class from Sam Robson as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Brilliant, 165 from Sam Robson. Also, just wanted to touch upon that point with regards to Tom Banton. Okay, 37 from 53 probably won't see immensely impressive to some people. You've got to think the bowlers that he's coming up against, Toby Rowland-Jones and Tim Murta, two county veterans, two masters with the new ball. So in fact, Tom Banton, I actually thought, did pretty well in this particular game in that second inning.
100%. 100%, yeah. And he's only 22, Tom Banton. So I think he could be England's red ball opener. I mean, he's obviously going to play white ball cricket again for England. Should he go to the World Cup, who knows? But he's obviously going to play in the future, will be England's white ball opener. Obviously only if he scores runs, but you know, if he does, I think England should take a punt on him. That's what Australia did with David Warner. That's what they did with Warner. He was a white ball opener. They took a risk on him, and yeah, he's turned out to be, you know, a very, very good red ball opener. So, in my opinion, Tom Banton, that is absolutely the right place to bat, and I think that's gutsy of him as well, because he knows, well, I assume he would know that. Can backfire totally. I bet when he got that 6 off 18 in the first innings, he was kind of thinking, should he maybe move down the order? Is this the right position for him to bat? But yeah, I mean, fair play to him. I think he should stick out this position. And fair play for pulling out the IPL as well. You know, I really respect that. Obviously has test ambitions, clearly. And I think that says a lot about him as a cricketer and as a person as well.
It's admirable, isn't it? It is very, very admirable for him to continue with his Red Bull aspirations. But yeah, what a game. Brilliant, brilliant game. I know we haven't really mentioned the bowling as well. Lewis Gregory in the first innings, 5 for 68. I'll go to Somerset's first inning as well. Tim Murta, already mentioned it. We all know what Tim Murta's capable of. He took 4 for 46. Ethan Bamber as well. Just wanted to give him a quick mention. He was very, very impressive. Actually, I thought his line and length was absolutely spot on, causing all sorts of trouble for the Somerset top order. And then just finally, I mean, I have to mention it again. This isn't bowling necessarily. But with regards to that partnership between George Bartlett and Lewis Gregory, that was absolutely brilliant because there was a point in that particular second innings, the chase was kind of stagnating a bit. Somerset had gone from 79 for 1 to 187 for 6. And you're thinking, oh, okay, something's beginning to go wrong here. The wheels are beginning to fall off. And those who just came out, Lewis Gregory in particular, 10 boundaries. So 40 out of his 62 runs were from fours. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And for all the Somerset fans out there, we all know how chuffed to pieces you are. What a comeback victory for the men from Taunton. And yeah, play Blackbird even louder because they thoroughly, thoroughly deserve to after that incredible performance at the home of cricket. But moving on from that great game down in London, let's talk about another London team who, of course, also ended up on the wrong side of the result this week. And we mentioned it right at the start of the podcast. Gloucestershire beating Surrey by 8 wickets. And Joe, if I just could, I want to start with one man in particular, Chris Dent. And I wanted to ask you a question. This was raised by Chris Nash on Twitter, of course, former Sussex and Nottinghamshire player, great, great batsman in his prime. He mentioned about Chris Dent potentially being on England's radar. And when you look at Chris Dent's numbers, they are very, very good. They really are. And I know he's been in Group 2, of course, with Gloucestershire. That is something which, for some reason, people do hold against players. But you look in this particular game, that partnership with Graham Van Buren, the match-winning partnership, he scored 91 in that. Graham Van Buren, GVB, scored 110. And in the first innings, he scored 78 runs. Do you think that Chris Dent could be an outside option on England's radar for a squad this summer? If he has a good championship season, of course.
I mean, obviously, if he has a good championship season, I don't see why not. I think England probably have a lot of openness, a lot of openness on their radar. I mean, obviously, you've got Crawley, Sibley, Burns. I would probably say Bairstow. There's a number. Let's say the top three batters on their radar. They have Crawley, Sibley, Burns, Bairstow. Dent surely got to be up there, though, for me. He really does. I think that, I mean, in all three formats, he's proved he's a very, very good player. And I think that these innings, again, he didn't hang around. I've said it so much today. He didn't hang around. And I think that's what England need. If you're going to have a Sibley or a Burns who bat quite slowly and you are going to put Bairstow at three or Crawley at three, not to compliment them, you need someone who is a proper opener, a natural opener to compliment them at the top of the order. Maybe someone like Chris Dent is the answer because he faced 96 balls for 78 in the first innings, 97 for 91 in the second. Maybe that's what England need. I think that's an excellent point from Chris Nash.
It is. And it is an interesting one because people may look at that from an outsider's perspective. And Chris Dent isn't from one of the major counties. And I hate calling them that because all 18 are just as important as each other to the success of the county game. But I do feel like sometimes people may look at Gloucestershire and go, oh, well, is he really England ready when he's playing in Division 2, this, that, the other? Of course, the last player to play from Gloucestershire was John Lewis back in 2007. For me, I think if he has another outstanding county championship season this year for Gloucestershire, and they can maybe challenge for Division 1 or at least Division 2, I think that's where they should be aiming for, to be honest, in the group of death. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe we could see him in the three line shirt at some point. But you mentioned there about Definitely. Rory Burns, and I just wanted to mention him in this particular game. Not the greatest of games, unfortunately, for Rory Burns in the first inning, scored 4. But then he came back brilliantly, didn't he, in the second inning? 74 from 130, including 13 boundaries, played magnificently alongside fellow England player Ben Foulkes. What did you make of those two in this week's games? Because I thought that where Surrey were, I mean, they were absolutely struggling. They were 48 for 3. They'd had a pretty hefty deficit as well from the first innings when Gloucestershire put 326. How impressed were you with that partnership between Rory Burns and Ben Foulkes?
Very. I mean, Ben Foulkes, you know, he's such a good player and arguably should be England's keeper. I think Josh Butler kind of saved himself in the summer. He didn't really come to the party much, did he, in the summer until at the end of the Pakistan series. And when he obviously had that partnership with Ollie Pope at Old Trafford, and then he got 100 at the Aegeus Bowl. So, Yeah, I think Ben Foulkes is certainly an excellent shout. I don't think he was, well, to be fair, nobody really got a chance in India because in Ashwin and Axel skittled England pretty quick. But I think even then, he still showed his, you know, how good of a player he is. What did he get, like 47 out or something like that in one of the games? I think it was in the second game. So yeah, Rory Burns, he obviously got dropped by England. In my opinion, that was wrong because I'm a huge Rory Burns fan. I think he's a great player. So yeah, I mean, I would definitely like to see Rory Burns keep his spot at the top of the order. I'm not sure alongside who, but it would definitely be that's who not I want sure to see over the batting in Australia. Yeah,
we're not going to get into Dom Sibley argument number 500 on this podcast.
Only time will tell. I mean, yeah, you can never tell. Crawley, yeah,
when he scores a century against Crawley,
had a good game for Kent. So
we'll put that conversation to bed.
Yeah, but I mean, one person I was disappointed in was Ollie Pope. 22 and a duck in the game, not ideal for him. Obviously, got 100 in the warm up game. That was against Middlesex, wasn't it? That game.
Mm-hmm.
Just last week or the week before. So that was obviously good to see Ollie Pope getting runs again. But he's been a little bit out of nick since the summer. Hopefully he can find his form. And another person actually who I was disappointed to not see play was Laurie Evans.
Hmm.
I don't really understand why he didn't play. Maybe it was weird. I mean, Jamie Smith is a great player, don't get me wrong. But he's a keeper and they didn't need a keeper because they obviously had Foulkes and, if the worst comes to the worst, Pope. And is Jamie Smith a better batter at the moment right now than Laurie Evans? In my opinion, no. Not say he won't be in the future, but in my opinion, Laurie Evans is a better player than Jamie Smith, especially coming in at number six. So especially and Jordan Clark at number seven as well, by the way, class from him. Mm, yeah. Absolutely quality performance.
Good 50 long.
Yeah, with the ball as well. Absolutely class. Sure, he didn't take a wicket, but yeah, quality player, Jordan Clark. But yeah, I think Laurie Evans should probably be in that Surrey side ahead of Jamie Smith. It'd be interesting to see how they go about it. Obviously, again, another person, Amar Verdi. Was there really any point in playing Verdi in this game? I know we got three wickets, in the match. But realistically, was there any need to play a spinner in April? We saw some counties do it more successfully than others. But yeah, who knows? Not that I don't rate Verdi, because I do. But yeah, I mean, lots of different questions about Surrey selection.
And just before we talk about Gloucestershire, because I have quite a bit to say about Gloucestershire, what a performance it was. Just wanted to mention Rhys Topley. Absolutely outstanding this week. Mm, in particular, definitely. In that first innings, 5 for 66. Again, with that left arm angle, was causing all sorts of problems for Gloucestershire throughout that innings. So well done to Rhys Topley as well. Just thought I'd give him a quick mention before we talk about the glorious Gloss. But talking about Gloucestershire, what a performance. What a performance. And of course, we mentioned there about that glorious partnership between Graham Van Buren and Chris Dent, the match-winning partnership in that second innings. But I thought in particular, their seam bowling in Surrey's first innings was just relentless. That's how I'd describe it. It was non-stop. They were indefatigable and they were constantly, constantly challenging both edges. It was brilliant from the likes of Josh Shaw, from the likes of David Payne, Matt Taylor as well, who took heaps of wickets in this particular contest. I thought Gloucestershire's seam attack in particular in this game really stepped up to the mark. They stepped up to the plate, showed their maturity, caused all sorts of problems for Surrey, and they basically suffocated them in terms of with a load of pressure and really set up a fantastic platform for their team to go on and win. And of course, Chris Dent, Graham Van Buren being major factors in that. James Brace as well, thought he played pretty well in this particular game, took an outstanding catch as well, didn't he? Diving low to his right.
Yeah.
Gloucestershire, outstanding. So a pretty good week, has to be said, for the Southwestern teams, wasn't it? Both Gloucestershire and Somerset playing London opposition and emerging victorious. So yeah, if you're a Gloucestershire or Somerset fan, not the worst week you'll ever have as a county fan, to say the least. But moving on to our third and final group, of course, of this week, let's go to group three. And Joe, I know you've been wanting to say your bit about Lancs all podcast long, so let's start up at Old Trafford. Of course, unfortunately, very, very delayed by some very strange weather, it has to be said, in Manchester.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of snow on day four. For those who haven't seen it, go and see Sussex's social media. Stuart Meeker and the boys are having a bit of a snowball fight at Emirates Old Trafford during the delay. But what did you make of this particular game? with Dane Vilas in particular. I know that he was a massive standout, but what did you make of the game and the ebbs and flows of the game as a whole?
Yeah, I think Lancs will be pretty frustrated with how the game kind of got away from them.
Mm.
Firstly, fair play to Tom Haynes. That was a very, very good inning.
Yeah.
And Ollie Robinson as well. I think that's kind of where Lancs lost, well, not lost, but drew the game. Obviously, the weather didn't help, but they could have genuinely won this on day three if they'd bowled Sussex out. I mean, that's for me where we lost this, or where we're actually saying lost. Feels like a loss because I know we should have won. That's kind of where we drew this game. You know, they were 127 for six when George Garson got out, and they ended up getting 301. Now, that to me, that's really poor by Lancs. It's really, really poor. I'm not sure that Dane Vilas used his bowlers in the right way. I think kind of gambled too early, in my opinion. You know, used Bailey, Mahmood, Wood and Lamb, effectively our four best seamers, too early. Not used them too early, but bowled them too many overs too soon. I think he should have spread it out a little bit more. And that was clear of how good they are. Their quality shone through. And then Haynes got on top of the game. Robinson got on top of the game. Even Mika ended up getting 30. So, yeah, disappointed. And then obviously Lancs pretty much got saved by Vilas. I think, I mean, Jackson Bird is not coming anymore. That's been announced today. He's injured. I think we need to sign another overseas top order batsman because we just cannot go on like this, you know, with inconsistent top order players.
Hang on.
it happened so much. It happened loads last season. Dane Vilas did not get any runs last
game.
Season. but I'm talking about last season. The top order has not changed in a year. We bought Luke Wells, but he's injured. He got injured in the winter. And apart from Alex Davis, and Josh Bohanan had a very, very good year last year. But apart from that, nobody really contributed. You know, Vilas got, I think, 250s all year, and he didn't get 100 last year. Obviously, this year it's totally different. He's come out and scored 189, but I do think Lancs need a bit of reinforcement in the middle order, maybe looking at a number four, because again, Stephen Croft is an absolutely class player, but in my opinion, is not a red ball number four. So, yeah, I mean, maybe they look at trying to bring an overseas in, batting wise, because as I say, I just don't think that top order is assured as it can be. But yeah, then the snow plays a part. It doesn't snow all winter. Obviously, snow is in the first week of April or second week of April. So yeah, that's how it is in Manchester, I guess. But as I say, pretty frustrating for Lancs. I think we should have won that game on day three because we should have bowled Sussex out. That's a fact, in my opinion. So yeah,
I'm guessing you're quite disappointed, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, it's just. Like the game just really got away from Lancs. You know, there wasn't really. I don't think Dane used his bowlers very well. I think he used them all too early, or used their best overs too early. And I think Matt Parkinson should have played again. That's another one, in my opinion. I understand he's just got back from India, but it's not like he's probably a bit jet lagged. But it's not like he's been playing cricket all winter. You know, he's sat there. He's been sat there running drinks on all winter, which. Is another issue which I disagree with, but not to take anything away from Tom Hartley, because Tom Hartley, I think, is a very good player. But, you know, he didn't get a wicket in the game, didn't really contribute anything with the bat. So maybe Parkinson would have been the better option. Hopefully, I'd like to see him in the next team because, as I say, in my opinion, he should be playing.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Very harsh as well, I must admit, Joe. But
yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you've got to be harsh when Lancs were in the position that they were with them 127 for six. If you looked at the scorecard and saw, if you as a Warwickshire fan saw Warwickshire had a team 127 for six and then ended up bowling them out for 301, you probably wouldn't be very pleased either, especially because Warwickshire have an attack, probably not as good as Lancs's, but you know, still a very good attack.
I beg to differ, so, of course.
I mean, yeah, disappointing, very disappointing, should have won.
Fair enough. And of course, for any Lancs fans out there, if you share Joe's sentiments, let us know at the County Crick 2 on Twitter. Highly recommend a follow. And of course, do let us know your thoughts on this week's game up at Old Trafford. But I just wanted to mention Sussex. You mentioned Tom Haynes in particular. There's one way that I'd describe that innings, and it is gladiatorial. I thought the way in which he saw off the likes of Tom Bailey, Tom Hartley, Sakeem Mahmood was so, so brilliant. That's all I can say. 155, he blocked it well. He left it well. He played well alongside the tail, alongside the likes of Ollie Robinson and Stuart Meeker in particular. And for me, he really has announced himself as a reliable option. I know it's only the first game, but if you can take even a smidgen of that form heading into the remainder of the championship, Sussex may fancy their chances to get some pretty big results this season alongside the likes of Ben Brown if he can come up to the party. Dale Ray Rawlings, for example, Aaron Thomason, who scored runs in the second innings against Lancs. Sussex, I'll tell you what, they'll take a lot of heart from that performance. That was a brilliant recovery effort from Tom Haynes and, of course, the tail end as well. And someone else I just wanted to mention, Luke Dunning, for those who listen to the podcast with Luke, who's Sussex's analyst, he mentioned Sean Hunt, a good young player coming up through the Sussex ranks. And I thought he was absolutely exceptional, to say the least. 3 for 47, bang on with his line and length. And again, was just giving absolutely nothing free, no freebies to Lancs, even against the likes of Dane Villas, for example, and Alex Davis. So Sean Hunt as well, well done. That's all I can say. A fantastic first class and, of course, Sussex debut for the young left-arm seamer. But moving on from Sussex versus Lancs then, let's go to Yorkshire, because this was an interesting game, wasn't it? First of all, Billy Root versus Joe Root. That was the underlying storyline, of course, which was brought to everyone's attention in this game. Both played against each other, funnily enough, on International Siblings Day as well, which was quite a funny fact. But yet again, we talk about snow, and day three in this game, it was like a blizzard. It looked like Antarctica up at Emerald.
It was bizarre, because obviously Glamorgan had batted the whole morning. Obviously had gone in for lunch and couldn't restart day three. It was very weird, but yeah, I mean, Billy Root won at the end of the day in terms of him against Joe. He even hit his 100th runs off Joe Root, which I found very ironic, and back garden kind of stuff. I bet they'd had a few jokes about that in the back garden years ago. And here they are doing that at Headingley. But yeah, I mean, fair play to Billy Root. Probably, I reckon he would have been feeling the pressure. I really do. Not only was he playing against one of the best batters in the world, it also happens to be his brother. So also that Yorkshire attack has some serious pace with Duane Olivier. Ben Code swings it around corners.
Brilliant singer. Yeah.
And Steve Patterson is not so quick anymore. Kind of just dibbly-dobbly.
He's a seasoned veteran though, isn't he? He's a thinker. He's a very, very intelligent and very wily character, isn't he, Steve Patterson?
Yeah, I mean, then Adam Lai, fair play to him as well. Held firm for Yorkshire. I reckon the wicket of Joe Root would have been a very proud moment for Dan Dalton as well, who obviously another former guest.
Yep.
So it's really, really good to see him getting Joe Root out, because, just anytime you can get someone like that out, it must be pretty good. And I also find it quite ironic that the Ireland test captain quite out of the England test captain as well.
Yeah, Bob Burney.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was it wasn't the best game. It wasn't the worst game, but it wasn't the best game. It's just a decent game of county cricket.
I actually disagree. I actually really like this, because I watched this one as well. For those who don't know, I had a pretty good setup, to be honest. So, like, I was just going through each and every single one of the setups. I had Warwickshire on the Chromecast on the TV, and then I was just cycling through each of the games on the laptop and phone. But I thought Glamorgan, I think that they deserve an immense amount of credit. They really, really do. To think that they are without Marnus Labuschagne, who is the talisman of their batting lineup, of course, he's not going to be joining until I think the first weeks of May. So he's going to be a massive loss. I thought that the likes of Tim van der Hooten in particular, that first innings, 85, Dan Douthwaite had a stellar game, really, really good. And funny enough as well, in the first innings, Yorkshire's first innings, he caught Joe Root as well. So Dan Dalglish obviously had the England captain's number in this particular game. But Glamorgan against a quality opposition in Yorkshire, consistent Division 1 team, always up there, maybe not challenging in recent years alongside the strength of Essex and Somerset, the two titans of Red Bull cricket in the English and Welsh county circuit. But they are a pretty consistent team with some excellent players. And I thought Glamorgan went toe-to-toe with them really quite well this week. So yes, I know on paper, a little bit disappointing in terms of we didn't get results. Maybe we could have if there wasn't that ridiculous blizzard up in Leeds this week. But I thought in terms of the game itself, it was very compelling. It was a fascinating encounter, to say the least. And I feel like both sides, I'm going to be honest, will actually take that result. Because heading into the fourth and final day, Glamorgan had a massive lead. I believe it's 378 runs. Yorkshire's target was 379. And Yorkshire got off to an uncharacteristically poor start. It has to be said, they were 3 for 47. Of course, Joe Root being dismissed by Dan Dalthwaite. And you think, okay, Glamorgan could actually win this. 7 wickets heading into the final session of the game. But what a rear guard action that was from Adam Lye. 115 out from 196 deliveries, alongside Jonathan Tazzell as well. Thought he deserves a little bit of a mention. Nice dogged and gritty innings. 15 from 60 deliveries. A nice strike at 25 for the Yorkshire wicketkeeper batsman. And Harry Brook as well, 60. I thought he's very impressive this week. So, yes, maybe the game, maybe looking at that on paper, it's a draw. Maybe it would have been better if there was a result. But I thought both teams played some good cricket at times. And in particular, Glamorgan could take a lot of heart and a lot of courage, I think, heading into the next rounds of the county championship. But moving on to our final game of this week's round in the 2021 county championship, we go to Wantage Road. Now, this was an interesting game, wasn't it, between Northants and Kent. A very high-scoring game, it has to be said. Joe, what were your thoughts? What were your overall thoughts on Northants versus Kent at Wantage Road this week?
I mean, as you say, it's a very interesting game. There was pretty much, have only been 2 innings in the game because obviously Kent did not bat for long in their second innings. But yeah, I mean, I think Ricardo Vasconcelos was very, very good. Rob Keogh was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, Vasconcelos has been out for ages, hasn't he? How long has he been injured for? Like a year. He missed all of last year, didn't he? Or all the year before. He missed a long time. A lot of cricket is what I'm saying. So yeah, man, I think Vasconcelos, very, very good. And Keogh, very good. And not really much else to say on that. I think actually, one thing I will say is I was disappointed in Joe Denley. Only got one. So he must improve. Not sound harsh.
Well, you know with Joe Denley what he's capable of. So I think, again, and with everyone who didn't maybe get big scores this week, in terms of the big names, you got to think they're going to come back at some point. It's only a matter of time. But yeah, 1 from 5, maybe not the greatest of starts for Joe Denley, but of course we know what he's capable of in a Kent shirt, one of their absolute stalwarts. I just wanted to mention, though, 4 guys in particular from Kent. Jordan Cox again, who was outstanding last year, had a standout Bob Willis Trophy campaign for the Spitfires. Jack Leaning as well, those two, the dynamic duo, paired up together again in this particular game. Jack Leaning got 79 from 170. Ollie Robinson, former guest here on TCCP, well done. 84 from 123, including 12 boundaries. And then the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. County Cricket, the GOAT, the King of Kent, whatever you want to actually describe him as, Darren Stevens performed yet again. And it was a sight to behold. 15 boundaries, 2 sixes, 116 not out from 134 deliveries. And on top of that, even took a couple of wickets in Northamptonshire's innings. But Darren Stevens, what a man. It's as simple as that. He is an absolute legend of the county circuit. And to think in 2019, I think back to that Yorkshire game up at Headingley, and he pretty much batted to save his career. Scored 237 and then took a 5 for as well on top of that, as though the 200 wasn't enough. County cricket would not be the same without Darren Stevens, would it, Joe? How would you describe the impact of Mr. County Cricket heading into 2021?
Yeah, I think it's, 35th 100 now he's got?
Yeah, in first-class cricket.
Yeah, amazing. He's remarkable. It really is, and he's got it in 4 decades as well.
Yeah.
Which I also find remarkable. So, I mean, yeah, he's obviously an exceptional cricketer. Very, very, very good innings. Once again, from Darren Stevens. I mean, he's the kind of person who'll just keep churning away, scoring runs, taking wickets. Obviously, only got 2 in this game, but nonetheless, still did very well. And yeah, as you say, pretty remarkable from Stevens. One person I would actually like to point out, though, quickly, is Miguel Cummins. Now, For me, I wasn't super impressed with this signing, not because Miguel isn't a good player, but because I feel like there would be better options out there. And honestly, not the best start from Miguel. Only bowled 19 overs in the innings. Well, sorry, in Northland's first innings. Well, Northland's only innings, actually. And 1 for 90 off those 19s, went almost 5 and over. Yeah, not the best start from Miguel Cummins, in my opinion. So his performances really need to improve, in my opinion, because, as I say, I thought it was an okay signing, but I wasn't super impressed. So, yeah, I definitely think he can improve.
Again, though, Joe, we have to think it is the first round. I mean, it's like with Daniel Beldrum and Denley. I mean, looking on paper, maybe they didn't have the greatest of games, but we know what these guys are capable of. Miguel Cummins was outstanding for Middlesex in the 2020 Bobolish Trophy, has county championship experience. And I feel like once we go to Kent, alongside the likes of Harry Podmore, who is very good, have to mention his 4 for 77, Darren Stevens, of course, Matt Milnes, I feel like he will actually get into the swing of things, the rhythm, per se. So let's not judge him on one game, but I agree, at times, did look a bit erratic with his line and length. I feel like when you've got a guy like Stevens building up pressure, you got Podmore testing both edges and going for LBWs, really causing havoc amongst the opposition. I feel like he could just play a bit of an enforcer role. That's what I feel like with Miguel Cummins. I feel like for the time being, he's still trying to find his niche in the Kent bowling attack, but it'll come. It's as simple as that. I mean, it's the first game. So for Kent fans, don't be too disheartened with regards to Denley or Bell Drummond or Cummins in this particular game. I still think that they'll come to fruition as the tournament actually progresses. But with regards to Northants, what a game that was for Ricardo Vasconcelos. Absolutely imperious. That's how I describe that innings. He was dismissive of the Kent bowling attack. And we have bigged up Kent's bowling attack for quite a while now. I've just mentioned four names there who were very, very good. And he just made it look like child's play. It was brilliant batting from the South African. It really was. And that partnership with Rob Keogh saved the game for Northants. And when we look back, maybe in a few weeks' time, few months' time, and we see where Northants actually finish in the Group 3 table, this could be a huge result determining whether or not they do challenge for Division 2 or Division 1, maybe. Who knows? As I said, there's still plenty of cricket to be played this year. So for me, Ricardo Vasconcelos, take a bow. It was absolutely glorious, with a capital G. And then Rob Keogh as well, brilliant. So yeah, for Northants fans, again, a bit like Glamorgan, I feel like they can take a lot of positives out of this particular game. They showed a lot of heart, a lot of valour, a lot of courage under fire from the likes of Stevens, Podmore, Miguel Cummins, for example. So overall, I know that a draw, maybe it's not the result that either side were looking for, but I feel like both sides can take a lot of positives out of this game. And heading into the rest of the championship, I feel like that's a pretty good performance for Northants, considering the strength of Kent and how they're going to come back and bounce back in this year's tournament. But Joe, mate, that pretty much brings us to an end to our first review show of the 2021 County Championship. Just before we go, though, of course, the second round does start this week. Okay, it starts on Thursday. If you had to pick out one game in particular, which game do you think that listeners should be looking out for on the radar, per se?
I would say Somerset Gloucestershire would be the game for me, because those two obviously both just come off a win. Gloucestershire, well, both equally impressive, but you could argue Gloucestershire's more so because the margin that they did it by, 8 wicket wins, is very, very impressive. So I will probably pick that game. Obviously, Somerset are the second best team in the country, arguably the best team in the country in some people's opinions. So yeah, I think that's going to be a very good test for Gloucester, very good test for Somerset, and I think that's the game to look out for. I also think Lancs Northants as well. We are going to watch. So, yeah.
There it is. The Lancs bias creeping in right at the end of the podcast. But yeah, I agree. Somerset versus Gloucestershire at Taunton should be very, very interesting. We'll be interested to see the spin battle, if that actually does have any effect in April, with the likes of Jack Leach playing Graham Van Buren as well for Gloucestershire. I also think a very, very compelling one, I have to admit, will be Hampshire versus Middlesex, with two quality seam attacks. You think you've got Abbott, Abbas, for example, going up against the likes of Murta, Roland Jones, Tom Helm, and James Vince. Will be interesting to see if he can keep some form alongside the likes of Liam Dawson, Tom Allsop, for example. So I feel like that's another game to watch out for down in Southampton. And the final one, I mentioned it pretty early on in today's podcast, but I do think Notts versus Warwickshire, I hope it isn't a draw. That's all I hope for. The fact is, both teams need to break their hoop.
Would you take a not swing if it's not a draw?
Well, obviously not. But obviously, as a Warwickshire fan, talking with the Warwickshire cap on, I have to admit that I'd like to see a Warwickshire win, because the last time they did win was the 19th of September at Trent Bridge. Fingers crossed, Dom Sibley can produce another masterclass. Hanuma Vihari and Ollie Stone potentially coming back into the 11 as well. That should be massive for the Bear and Ragged staff. But I do feel like that'll be a game to really watch out for. Both teams desperate for a win. And I think both sides will definitely be up for that contest at Trent Bridge later this week. But Joe, do you have anything just kind of wrap up on? I mean, I think we've pretty much covered everything quite thoroughly today, to be honest.
Yeah, nah. Just hopefully Lance can bowl a team out quicker.
What a way to end the podcast. But yes, that does bring us to an end to the first review show of the 2021 County Championship. For all of the listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.